Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
David Tucros.
Join us
on a metaphysical,
holistic,
and intuitive journey.
The call-in number is 646-595-3440.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the ride. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. I am Iggy Garcia. Welcome to the show tonight. I'm going to try to patch my friends here in a second. I don't see them for some reason. Now they pop on. So here we go. I'm going to bring them on. I think I'm going to bring them on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, David Tucros, yes.
Hey, for some reason I couldn't get you guys on there. Welcome, welcome.
Hello there. How are you?
We're doing well here in Virginia Beach.
Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah, we miss you guys too. It's about 45 degrees and it's pretty nice.
Yeah, you're probably getting the weather we had yesterday. It was really nice for our Ashcade gathering. Just a really unseasonably warm weather. The sun was out. It was just a really beautiful day. And we had a wonderful time. We missed you there, but I did feel your spirit was with us, and we gathered and drummed and communed as we do, and it was a great time.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures that you guys took. Pretty cool, and some of the videos, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was a wonderful time, but we definitely missed you and had you with us in spirit. So.
Oh, I missed all you guys too, drumming over there. It was a lot of. It's one of those things that you just do every year. It's kind of like a pilgrimage, and then you're not part of the pilgrimage, and it's kind of strange. But I had a good excuse. I have a new addition to my family, which is even better and even more exciting to share a few moments to little person. And this little person doesn't really know who I am at the moment, but at least I'll be able to say, you know, I was there when you were born. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, yeah. That's really special. I'm glad you've had so much time to be able to get to know that new little life in your life. And that's important. It's an important time.
I don't do diapers, though.
I'm being a grandpa, you know, you can pass on the diapers.
Grandpa says, you know what, I'm grandpa. I did that. Change your diaper already.
Your kid, your diaper.
Yeah, that's my excuse.
Yep. Well, and then after the Ashcade gathering, I went over to Mark's and watched the Super Bowl with him. Well, most of it anyway, and some of his friends were there too. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're watching something with Mark, you're always going to take a trip down the rabbit hole. And sure enough, that's where we went.
Yeah.
Well,
I could imagine.
Yeah. You know, on the surface, it was a football game with a halftime show, but underneath the surface, there's a lot going on there. There were a lot of messages that we found woven into the pageantry and the show there. One of them, of course, the halftime show was the big deal, you know. But before that, we noticed that on the players' jerseys, the emblem for the 50th Super Bowl looked a little different. You know, it had some buildings on it, and I don't know what the story is about that, but right away it was kind of reminiscent of the Twin Towers, you know, because there was large buildings on either side, and it's like, what is that I'm seeing on their jerseys? I was surprised that nobody was talking about it. So that was one of our questions, too. And, and then, of course, with the halftime show, you had Coldplay coming out, an English band, and they were very colorful and with the flowers and everything. It reminded me of the Flower Children in the whole 60s thing. It had that kind of feel to it, you know, and they had some sacred geometry woven in there, too. They had the flower of life. So there again, there's another flower symbol in there, in that whole pageantry. And then all of a sudden, boom, you had Beyonce and and Bruno Mars come out, and they're all black and gold and just like a total contrast to what we'd just seen with Coldplay. It was, and the whole theme of it was like, what is going on here? There's some kind of like almost like a transition being shown between maybe the past, you know, with the whole peace and love of the flower children and tie-dye effects and everything, and then boom, we got this black and gold authority coming out here, like military almost, you know, with the berets and the, yeah, it was just like, we delved a little more into that, you know, and we, one of Mark's friends, I think his name was Mark too, he was looking up online about the symbolism of black and gold, and it was mind-blowing what he found out, because he comes up with this website and it says, black and gold, satanic influence, illegitimate authority, and Western society. Wow. And after that, every commercial seemed like it had black and gold in it. Like you were seeing it everywhere. And I'm like, am I just seeing this because I'm looking for it? Or are they really, really kind of weaving this whole symbolism into it? You know, is this, like I say, when you're with Mark, there's different levels to whatever you're watching. And it was just really interesting to kind of see that, you know, and how symbolism speaks to us, you know, and when we're watching something. So anyway, I don't want to go too far there. We got other things to talk about, but it was just really, really eye-opening to kind of step back and look at things from a different point of view. So anyway.
I thought it was just a shitty game, personally.
Well, it was so unexpected that the Broncos won, you know, that the Carolina Panthers had been a really strong team and they were like almost unbeatable. But here again, Mark's got a little conspiracy theory because he said they accidentally, quote unquote, tagged both of the end zones for the Broncos at first, you know. So maybe the Illuminati or the power people wanted the Broncos to win for some reason. So I was like, I don't know. Just
or maybe it's just the mafia imposing their will on who was going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, we buy in so much to the activity going on that we, you know, we kind of miss some of the deeper stuff. And Adriana, you couldn't be less interested in sports, I know, too. So
I take it the Broncos won?
Yeah, they did, you know.
Well, that's the first I've heard of it.
Blissfully ignorant of all that stuff, and that's fine. That's fine, you know.
I am right, I am.
Yeah.
Actually, the symbolism and stuff interests me, but Mark's going to have to show it to me in something other than a sport game.
Well, we've got the Grammys coming up, too, and Mark swears that that's a whole other level of the, you know, the occult and power and the Illuminati and all that stuff going on there. So we'll have his take on that, I'm sure.
We'll have the Grammy party then.
The Grammy party.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the logo, and what I see is a stadium. It's wrapped around a stadium, but I'm not familiar with that. I'm not sure what that stadium is. It might.
Okay.
I'd have to do a little research. Might be the San Francisco Bay or area. Maybe that's what their stadium looks like, but I don't know. But they didn't play in San Francisco,
yeah,
did they?
Yes, I believe they did play in San Francisco.
Okay. Tells you how much I care.
So it could be.
Tell you how much I care.
Yeah.
I really don't care about the Grammys either, so.
Yeah. Well, the thing with symbolism is, too, you know, it's not always what you're seeing, it's what your subconscious is picking up on, too.
Right.
You know, because these people who try to form our opinions and control our reality, they understand quite well that the subconscious sees much more than the actual consciousness. So if they can slip messages past our conscious mind and in the subconscious, then mission accomplished. You know, they've done their job. So you mean it's the impression you get of something. Like we were looking at that, like, is that the Twin Towers or, you know, something. So even then it just kind of gave us that impression of it, even if it wasn't that, but.
Well, in the back in the back of the numbers, there's like shadow silhouettes of maybe the Golden Gate Bridge, some of the buildings in the city, you know, buildings from the city. What I'm seeing, but and I also see a penis there, so I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, there definitely is was a phallic symbol involved in that too, and that's another higher form of symbolism. And the commercials, were kind of interesting to watch too.
They were
the
bad
one that
this
was
year.
Most but the one that was most disturbing to me too, and I probably affected anyone else who saw it, was this monkey dog baby thing, you know, that was wandering around. It was like some kind of weird genetic experiment or something. I'm like, what is this? Oh, that was disturbing.
I don't remember that.
Plain old disturbing. Yeah.
There's a lot of bestiality, I guess, huh?
Something like that, yeah.
Wow. Sounds like the genetic engineering. Sounds
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Giving you a heads up.
Yep.
Sounds like we need to do more stuff. We have too much time on our hands.
But speaking of that, I'm actually back on Facebook now. I wanted to see the pictures the gathering. Yeah, and we had some wonderful videos. You took a great video, Adriana, of the drumming and just kind of wandering around and showing the whole scene. And yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, thank you. I love my one of the waterfall.
Yeah, that was
pretty. I'm telling you, that was amazing. I had walked over there. I was just drawn to go over there anyway. Usually it's the first thing I do when I get there is go over by the water and say a prayer and usually put my hands in the water and sprinkle water on me. But we had been there a while, and I walked over there and did that. And I could see things. From the time I was walking towards it and I started taking pictures, I didn't even post all of the pictures that I have. I just picked a couple of the ones that I just loved that really caught my curiosity there. But the closer I got, and I was just mesmerized by the water. And I'd look up and I'd think, my gosh, I see two forms in there and they're moving. And I kept looking, thinking, well, where's this light coming from? And over here, you know, I had opposite lights coming in. Couldn't figure out the direction from one light. But looking inside the waterfall, I literally saw two figures in there moving, and that's why I recorded that. And then my recording, I was like, oh, my gosh, I captured them in there. I mean, I wasn't sure if they'd show up or if it was just my eyes and what my eyes were seeing or did I just want to see this, but it was really, really special. I was by myself when I was over there filming that, and it was just really, really special. So I'm glad I captured what I did. So
it's pretty cool. What I saw was pretty amazing.
Yeah, the waterfall was really being like a portal, like it was the last time. It was when we saw those light beings, it was being exactly the same way. The sun was coming through it, and I took Bo with me, so I walked him around as well. But when we got up on this overlooking it, the sun was coming through, and you could see rainbows in it. And so it was really being like a prism, really a great, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Boy, the energy was good, though. I think every one of the whole time we drummed, just everything, just the rhythms just kept going and going and just flowed. Everything really just flowed. It was real peaceful.
Yeah, and we had a couple of requests to do the healing circle, so we did the drum healing circle as we've done it there before. And this time, I was so great to beat that heartbeat drum and have the healers moving around, tending to the other people, and just to be in that mm-hmm. moment. It was very, very powerful and
awesome.
And yeah, I felt like we were soloing, you know, from all the times we've been with you doing it, Iggy. That this was our turn to step up and do it on our own. And I'm really pleased with the way it turned out.
My work's done. I no longer have to go anymore.
No. But, David, you did a great job. That really just was amazing. And just the feeling, you could feel, you know, people just releasing whatever they were there for, you know. There's, you could feel a lot of prayers and
good
praying and intentions. It was just really,
yes,
really beautiful.
Yes, it was. Everyone did a wonderful job of just channeling whatever healing modality they had and intention and setting space. I just was just a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
The power of the Ash Cave experience was just felt so much, and
mm-hmm.
and the yeah, it's great.
Yeah, a mutual friend of ours, Lisa Meadows, sent me a message today. She goes, "I saw you there, Iggy." And I was kind of like laughing because I was like, yes, there's my confirmation that I was there. Because I was like meditating the day before, and then I was in a dream state where I was actually there. But I was there like way, like almost a whole day before, which is kind of odd. I like undershot, you know, instead of overshot, missed it completely. And then I went to the beach yesterday and just sat in the cold, blistery wind by the ocean. I touched the water and just felt like I was connected with you guys. I could hear your drumming. I didn't have a drum, but I was surrounded by seagulls. They were just like chilling next to me, and they were kind of like wondering what the hell I was doing out in that cold. Maybe they thought it was dinner and waiting for me to die or something. I don't know, but it was kind of funny.
No, the birds are bringing you messages. I actually took a couple photos of the birds that were around there. Blue, I guess they look like pigeons, but they're really big, blue.
They're blue,
really pretty.
I saw that.
Yeah, and when I was over there by the water, and when I turned, to, you know, behind me from the waterfall, there were three of them up there, just
flying,
you know, back and forth. And but I had put my hand in the water too, Iggy. So imagine that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that portal in the fall. It was like all of a sudden it just looked like everything was swirling in a vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And then something was, you know, coming down through the center. And then as soon as it just stopped at the bottom and they just stayed there. And then that's where it looks like there were two beings. That was just amazing. I'm so glad I actually captured the photos that I did. I'll post the rest of them in probably a separate album.
So that was pretty amazing what I was watching there. I was like, oh my God, they look like they're like moving or talking to each other. There's a couple of your pictures, they look like they have faces, like you can actually see like an alien face on them. One looked like it had a helmet on its head, like this, like astronautical helmet or something. It was pretty cool. And then the one picture, there was a puppy monkey baby, which I couldn't quite figure out what that was.
Not in mine.
I got about 57 photos, but I'm having technical difficulties with my camera, so I'm going to be posting those when I can overcome that. But I was actually following you along a little bit as you went to the falls for the first time, so I think I got some pretty good pictures of you communing with the water in that space. So, that'd be cool to see.
Yeah. I was in my own little world when I went over there. it was like I was oblivious to anything around me once I got up there. It was just really amazing.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And Bo enjoyed himself, too, because there were other dogs there he could bark at and visit with, so... He's funny. You know, he's all about territory. So he wanted to go all over that place and just kind of claim it for himself and, you know, make sure that his presence was known. So I really enjoy hanging out with him, you know. And tomorrow I go pick up Bella's ashes, so that's going to be a little bit sad. But also, you know, I like bringing her back home and just, you know, her spirit's free to wander the universe, but... But,
right.
You know, she'll always be a little bit of She always have a little bit of a home here with me, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're always with you. But I understand the wanting to have her home, too. That's absolutely natural, too, to kind of feel that mm-hmm. way, I think. How I was with mm-hmm. the shepherd anyway. I did not want her to be anywhere except home. She had to be home, so nothing was right for me until I did that too, until I got her there. So.
Right. Yeah, I could feel her laying by me sometimes, or you know, just kind of imagine her laying with me and you know the way she used to, and so you know mm-hmm. it's comforting. You know, it's to keep those memories and those feelings. But like I said last week, you know, life is short. It's precious, and whether your life lasts 8 years or 80 or longer, you know, it's still a miracle experience and to be appreciated for every moment.
That's right. Definitely appreciate every moment. You never know when mm-hmm. you won't have another moment, you know, for yourself or with someone else. That's
true, right?
Important.
Very true.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate the friends that came yesterday and just my friends in general, the people that I've connected with in life. I appreciate all of you, and sometimes I don't know if I'm showing that or, you know, if I'm making myself available enough, but it's almost too much sometimes, you know, it's to to put myself out there for as much as I feel for my friends. And so I hold back a little bit. Oh, they're showing that monkey baby thing on TV again. Oh, that's disturbing. Oh boy. I'm not going to look. Okay.
Well, David. I will tell you this, David. We appreciate you, too. And when you're not around us a lot, we miss you. But I want to tell you one of the best memories that I have from yesterday was when you had walked up beside me, and I actually just got a really good hug. Because that was like, it just was. It was a heartfelt hug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good memory for me because we didn't have to say anything to each other at all. And it was just one of those hugs. It was very comforting and, you know, like a friend would comfort. So thanks
right.
for the good hug.
Oh, you are welcome. You are welcome. That connection, you know, that we have between all of
yeah.
us, you know, and when we have that hug and that feeling heart to heart, as you say. Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's all that we need, you know, that we don't need a lot of other things in our lives is when we have that connection, you know. There's not a lot of stuff going on around us all the time to have that. It's honest
right.
and it's real.
It's sincere, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what else do you want to talk about?
What are you doing, Iggy?
I got bounced out. I didn't hear anything you guys just said, so.
Oh, you missed the best part.
You'll have to play the archive.
Last thing I heard was, oh, I'm watching the monkey baby. And that was it.
Well, it'll be a surprise. So what have you been doing, Iggy?
Yeah, what's been up with you?
Nothing.
I seen you went and captured some photos of Neptune.
Yeah, there's a big statue here in Virginia Beach of King Neptune.
Uh-huh.
And it has quite a bit of different... It's like a big bronze statue on top of some rocks, and it has like all different kinds of sea life on it. It's got octopus. It's got fish. It has, I'm trying to look at a picture here real quick so I can remember. Sea turtle. Let's see, what else? A big lobster, as big as me, and some dolphins. It's pretty beautiful. Some snappers. And the thing is, like, almost as tall as the restaurant, almost. You know, the Garcia's, how high it is?
Mm-hmm.
How tall it is. Pretty tall, pretty big. I don't know the whole history behind it, but I just know that the wind was blowing so hard that I couldn't even walk in that little area, and the sand was blowing on my face. And it was pretty cool.
Hmm.
And the ocean was right behind it.
Yeah. So was the water rough?
It was, I don't know if it was really rough or not. It was probably rougher than usual, but nothing that's not abnormal when you look out to the ocean. It was really cold, though. It was super cold because when the waves would roll in, it would leave like a foam, and that foam would like freeze, and the wind would catch it and blow it. It was so funny. I was cracking up when I was watching. I don't know. I found that funny for some reason. But, yeah. But, yeah, it was really super windy, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the seagulls were looking at me like, why are you out here?
They thought you were going to feed them.
They thought I was probably going to steal their food that came rolling in from the ocean. So I see you, fat boy.
So what is Virginia Beach known for? I know that they have a military, like a naval base there.
They have the, and it's in Norfolk, Virginia, is the Navy base. It's the largest U.S. Navy base here in the United States. Probably, I think it's the largest Navy base in the world, personally, if I'm not mistaken, according to what Jake was telling me. But what it's known for, rude and obnoxious people, honestly, truthfully. They're not kind here at all. They're really, everybody's tense and stressed. I would not want to live here if I had a choice. I think one person said hi to me, and that was at Walmart, and I was like, one guy like pushed my cart out of the way. It's really rude. And the one lady looks like Paula Deen, who was like the only person who said hello to me, and I said hi to her. I think I freaked her out when I said hi. But either way, it's strange. It's very different. It's very different. It's very everybody's really guarded here. I think I had more people said hi to me in New York City than here in Virginia Beach.
Wow.
Yeah it's
weird.
Sounds like
you should go there and play a drum circle.
I don't even know. I don't even know if they play flutes here, you know? It's just weird. The energy's weird.
They need a hug.
It could be because there's like a military installation here and everybody just is transient, so they come from different places. They really don't want to be here. And then some people get stuck.
My sister lives in Virginia, not by the beach. I think she's about an hour and a half in from there.
Mm-hmm.
But she says the same thing. She's been out there for like 10 years and really does not have very many friends, and she just wants to leave. She's like, the people here, she said, it's just different. Even their work ethic is not what
you see. I wasn't
like
making
people
it up.
Out here in Ohio.
I wasn't making it up.
Yeah. But, I look for her to move back to Ohio. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just different. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose if you've grown up there or whatever, you'd know it more, understand that attitude more. But yeah, that's. I don't know if it's indicative of the whole East Coast, but it seems like they've got that reputation of being a little more guarded and a little more. I don't want to say judgmental, but a little just a different kind of an attitude.
Well, I've been to New York and I say hi to people, and they say hi to you. So it's not like New York, actually, they're a little more out. They go out of their way to say hi. The big myth is that New Yorkers are rude and don't say anything. That's not true. That's actually I found that to be a farce. I've been on the subway talking to people. So. I think that's why GV loves it so much.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of homeless people here, and a lot of homeless here in Virginia Beach. A lot of displaced veterans are just homeless, period.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a beautiful place. It's beautiful here, though. It is pretty. Very pretty.
Is the beach clean?
I think so. I think the beach is clean. I haven't seen anything. I think they take care of it pretty nice.
Yeah.
Every part of the beach that I've been on looks pretty good. I even went on a part with Jake and Susie and the baby and Markel. And we were walking through there, and it looked pretty clean. I didn't see anything.
Yeah,
of course, when you go to like the hotel type area a little bit, there's a few cups and things laying around, which is normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah. And you get that everywhere you go, I guess, because people can't seem to keep the trash picked up. But it's one of those things. It always gets me when I see it in like a national park or someplace like, you know, we were at
mm-hmm.
Talking Hills, you know, how can people just kind of leave their stuff behind? It's in this place. I guess it's almost because it's sacred to us. So to me, it's like, you know, desecrating a church almost, you know, or whatever. You know, it's like that's a holy ground for us. But I don't know.
Yeah.
People have their attitudes and their levels of awareness about what they do. And, you know, I'm sure I've acted ignorantly in the past, but I pick it up whenever I can. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, can't be everywhere.
I went to a cute little restaurant yesterday by myself. It was called Charlie's Seafood Restaurant. It was on Route 60 there. And they
mm-hmm.
have the best crab soup anywhere. That's what their sign says. So I had to pull over because it reminded me of some like a little Jack and Benny's type, like just a little hole in the wall that you would probably drive. You would just miss it if you weren't looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big baby blue building. It looks like it was an old gas station or something. And they've been there since 1946. And you know what? You know how seafood is expensive. I know you don't like seafood, but seafood is really expensive where we come from in Ohio. So I got for $10, okay, I got a pound of shrimp, okay, and that's a lot of shrimp. And I got 10 pounds of crab legs for $10, okay. It would cost me more just to buy that in Columbus and make it, okay, the time and effort. So I was just like, hell yeah. The girl's like, do you want anything else? I said, yes, I do. I actually do. I will take a pound of your special on the shrimp.
And I'll take this and this and this.
The hush puppies were even different. I was like, wow, these are pretty cool. They're homemade hush puppies, which they were really super good, man. But the crab legs were awesome, man. I was just like, oh.
Now, I love crab legs and lobster and shrimp and hush puppies.
Well, I guess you would have liked that.
It's not all seafood. It's just it has to be cooked a certain way, and those are my favorites. So.
And the shells were so tender; they were just like on the shrimp. It was steamed so just like steamed down, and they put Old Bay on it and butter all over it. That you didn't have to peel the shrimp; just eat the shell. It just melted in your mouth. I don't know how they did it. Because I've never been able to do it like that, and it was just like I was in heaven.
Mm.
Jake's looking at me, and he's going, "Damn, Iggy, should have taken me too." I'll take it.
Wow.
But I had to spoil myself, you know.
No, you deserved it.
I spoiled myself. I'm good at that. I'm good
That's
at
right.
spoiling myself.
That's what you're supposed to do when you're by the ocean is have some seafood. So.
Yeah. And we went to a really cool place, too. It's called Citrus. It's like a diner breakfast place. It was really nice. They had a seafood shrimp, a crab, like, omelet, which is fantastic. And and Jake, I think, got an omelet, too. And then Markel got, I forget what she got, a Philly sandwich. And so did their friend Ruben. And then Susie got a big country fried steak as big as her head, bigger than her head almost. My God, it was like, my God, that thing's huge. I've never seen a country fried steak that big.
Hmm.
Now we sound like a Food Network show here.
There's love in food, you know that, holistically speaking.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Food is medicine. And sometimes it's just good to chow down, you know, and open up and enjoy a little bit of indulgence and stuff. It's when you get attached to things, I guess, that you begin to get into trouble, whether it's pleasures of any kind, you know, or indulgences or distractions, you know, when you get that addiction going on that where you can't separate yourself. Healthy limits and boundaries, isn't that what we always say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overindulgence in food can get you really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But you're on vacation, you're supposed to overindulge.
Oh, you're talking about me. Now you're being a good person here.
No, I'm just telling you, don't feel bad. You're on vacation. That's what you're supposed to do right now.
I didn't feel bad at all.
About spoiling yourself.
I know.
You're giving me a hard time.
Call me fat. What are you talking about?
I never said that.
Okay.
It's all good.
Yep. Be yourself, you know.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Broadcasting live from Virginia Beach, Virginia. It's DJ.
And Columbus, Ohio.
So, Iggy,
mm-hmm.
I liked your post on the With Insights group page there about all of the missing people from the parks.
Oh, yeah.
And that was interesting. And I commented on it, and I tagged Mark in my comment because I remember him saying that he had that was something that had interested him, and he had, you know, started really looking into that a while back. So I told him, I suggested that he should do a Lion's Lair show with me about that, because, you know, Mark, he can get on one topic and he can talk for hours. So I think I'm going to try to line up a show with Mark on that. I think it'd be interesting to do. But what do you think? What do you think about all those people, you know, and they seem to be in those concentrated areas too? I looked on that map, you know, that it showed real quick, and Ohio wasn't on there. So I think we're good in our park so far. But areas where there were high concentration of just so many disappearances, and a lot of them are children.
Really?
So what's your take? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure why people disappear and why they're not able to be found.
Without a trace.
Without a trace. I mean, we're good at it. We're good at it here in this country. Our banks are a good system. You know, they can make our money disappear without a trace. So I guess here in this United States, we have a very good way of making things disappear that we don't want to see.
Mm.
But little children disappearing, I don't know. That's kind of weird. Not sure why they would disappear. I don't know what's going on over there. I don't even have a theory on it. I'm not sure. It could just
That's
be...
That's like they said, you know, some of them would disappear, little children that could, like, 3 years old, say. And
wow.
They'd wind up, you know, miles and miles away after 2 days or 3 days in the middle of nowhere, you know, with no
mm-hmm.
clothes.
Wow.
And there's just no way to explain how a child would have got that far away, even if someone took them on foot or in a car or a vehicle. I mean, a lot of those cases, it seemed like that was just impossible.
I don't know. Maybe they're just puppy monkey babies in disguise.
It makes you wonder.
I don't know, maybe they have some kind of ability that we're not aware of.
You know, I've been talking about it with Mark, too, and he says that in many cases, these children, when they're found and they're asked what happened and how did you survive, and, you know, they'll say that they were taken care of by a wolf or a bear or some animal that was watching over them and helping them, you know, and to their minds, maybe whatever caretaker spirit or alien being or whatever was watching over them was presenting itself as a protective spirit, animal of some sort. So, yeah, there's a great mystery going on with it all. And I think in these places where we've set aside nature and kind of kept it relatively protected and pristine, there are still, I don't know, you want to call them portals, vortexes, energy centers that have been around for as long as the Earth has been around. And somehow we connect with those. We maybe choose to walk into them or find ourselves in some zone of, transition between dimensions even. So there's a lot of mysteries in this world still. And I think we're naive and self-righteous if we think we know everything that there is to know about this Earth.
There you go. There's your answer. You were asking.
Yeah.
You asked the wrong guy. You asked the wrong guy.
That's one answer. You know, there could be all kinds of things, you know.
Well, I think it'd be a good show. What do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I tune in.
It's kind of like...
We might have you on there, David.
Well, I live just down the road from Mark, so yeah, that's quite possible.
I found a pair of boots, like military boots, by the fence close to the beach, and my mind just raced all over the place. Now that you guys were talking about missing people, and I was wondering about those boots, how long they'd been there, why they're there, and it just felt like somebody just maybe decided they were going to walk into the ocean and never come back. That was the feeling I got when I saw these boots just sitting there, and it was just really strange. I took a picture of them, just kind of in memory and honor of this person who maybe, I have no idea if that's true or not, but, regardless, it just felt that way. And it was just one of those moments where you just do something out of randomness. And I was going to take the boots, but they're too small for me, so.
Who knows? They could have been left there by somebody as a kind of a memorial to a lost friend or something, too,
Could have been.
You never know.
And then I took a picture of a pink cap.
The photograph might be, the cover for your book.
Well, I lost my boots. I was joking. I found your boots. A little pink house.
The path I'm walking on.
Yeah,
You got the little boots in your bundle too, carry around.
Yeah.
You get two boots.
I was thinking about those little boots. It was strange. That was strange at Ash Cave not to have them be able to see your bundle. But
I was thinking about those boots. Iggy wasn't meant to be there this time.
Yeah.
It's just
like
what
I
it would be. That's how life would be without Iggy. Just not there.
Well, we carry you with us in our spirit, and I really could feel that, that you weren't there, but you were at the same time, kind of through us and who we are as people. You've shaped our lives, and we'll never be the same. Even if you were to disappear tomorrow, we wouldn't be the same.
Mm-hmm. I don't plan on disappearing tomorrow, but thank you. I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me. But I think you shaped it. I think we all shape each other's lives, so that's important that we all play an integral part in one another's, existence to some degrees, even for a short time or a long time or, even for a moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what the memories are all about. My mom always says God gives us memories because when one of us has to leave this world, a part of the other person is always left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that.
And now you guys all know how to drum
world.
Now you guys know how to drum.
Yes,
you don't.
Do.
And you don't need my services any longer.
No, I think we always need your services.
That's right.
Now the master
right.
step, step into the shadows.
No, you're not getting off that easy. We got a lot more plans for you.
Oh, no. No, it's not.
Well, I don't
about,
know. If...
Go ahead. Well, I was thinking about having a past life experience again. So your services will be needed, Iggy.
past life regression
@iggytercia.com. I think I want to go back a little further.
I don't know who I'd be if I did the past life regression. That would be interesting. Huh.
You'd be David, but with some more information.
Yep. Just an evolving spirit in this universe.
Yeah, past life regressions are very powerful. They can be the clues to a lot of things about who you are, how you are, why you are, and why you feel the way you feel about certain things. And it opens up a window and portals. To go back into the womb and come out the other end is just an amazing feat. I tell you, it's very powerful work. And some people call it hypnosis, but it goes beyond hypnosis. I mean, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. We're always hypnotized constantly. But there's a part of us, like the subconscious mind you were talking about, just keeps clicking and keeps recording regardless. It's our hard drive. It's our security. It's our memory that always keeps working. And when you start doing past life regressions, there's a difference between them being cellular miasms. There's actually a real aspect of its reality that you can separate from a gene or a memory from your ancestors. But those are true too. Those are real too. Those are different types of past life regressions. Those are different types where you actually take on. And you can see and feel, like my grandkids, I can see myself in them. I can see aspects of me by just looking at them, not even knowing at a higher level, know that they carry a part of my, genetic code, on to the next generation. And then, I'm my kids. I feel it more through my grandkids than my kids, which is kind of strange because it's a new evolution of yourself. Every, your kids are an evolution of you, and then their kids are another evolution of you. And all the people who have come way before you, and to get you to this point, to get, Liliana or Milano to where they're at, there's been tons of people before them, tons. And, all these people geared up and they worked together to get to this one place and moment in time to bring her to this space, to bring Milano and Liliana to this one moment, this one place in his history, which is, to me, it's just amazing. And to not value that and to not see that, it would just be, it's a total waste, And it's just amazing. It's just beautiful, amazing. And that's not just my side. I'm just talking about my side here. And then you also have, Dante's wife's side and Markel's husband's side that has a completely whole line that comes along with that too. And then you're talking about thousands and thousands of people who work together to bring this perfection into the world. It is mind-boggling.
It is. It is. Yeah, when you think about all the energy that went to push us forward to where we are now, and you start doing genealogy and finding the stories about the people that are in your past and the struggles that they went through and the sacrifices they made and the dreams that they had and the distances they traveled and all the things that that put me right here and now in this moment, you know, and you can feel them. You can feel their, if they're not physical presence, at least their intention that's coming through in my life now too, you know, and you realize and you understand that you're never alone. You're always got that impetus and that energy behind you to, you know, and what you do with your life, of course, is your own, but at the same time, you're a culmination of all of that energy rolling forward to now, you know, and then we become part of the energy that pushes onward, you know, when our children and our children's children and so on go forward, you know, we are in that stream of life that's behind them as well. So it's an exciting journey when you look at it like that.
Mm-hmm. Right, I've been working on my, you know, genealogy too, but I did have, I tried a session, it's been a while back, with Iggy, I kind of just ended up doing it, and I'd always been a little bit leery about going back, I guess. But I have to say, I've not really quite been the same since then, because it really sparked me to get into where I am with the genealogy now. And I have that curious mind anyway. You know, that nature. I've always been a curious person. So I think the next time I'll have your services and I will compensate you for them.
Sounds good.
But I think I'm going to go further back. But I would say if anybody was interested that they should get a hold of Iggy. He's very good at that. And then you can plug yourself on how to get a hold of you, Iggy.
You can reach me at iggygarcia.com or at iggygarcia at Facebook. And all the information to contact me there is there on the website. Thank you for that nasty plug.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that there's also times, too, when maybe not knowing what went on in the past might be a good thing, too, for some folks, for healing, or perhaps there's people in our lives now that are used to be our enemies or, you know, did us great harm, but they're in our lives now to somehow balance out that karmic balance sheet, you might say, or to live out another role and another step into another area of our lives. I kind of get that feeling sometimes with people that you run into in your life, yeah, I know you from somewhere, you know, but now you're here and you're different, but at the same time, you know, we have a connection going back. I'm certainly not saying, you know, if you're interested in past life progression, go for it, you know, that's fine. But I think we're born with amnesia for some kind of a reason too, you know, that we need to work through things in this life that if we knew about them before, we probably would have a hard time letting go of them in some cases. Maybe that's true.
Yeah, first you got to ask yourself, why do you want to go back in time and find these pieces and parts of yourself that you personally locked away or been, like you said, you're born with amnesia. You know, there's usually a reason. For some people, it's just curiosity because they've heard about it and they're interested about it. And it's like, oh, I got to find out. I'm just curious. And then for others, there's some really, you know, heavily charged pains and things they can't quite understand and quite move through. It's almost like past life regression is almost kind of like a soul retrieval of sorts, where you actually bring back a part of you emotionally, spiritually, and physically to the present moment, because that's what's going to happen. And then how you feel, what you do with that information once you have it is super important. It's like opening up your mind to possibilities. Are you able to, you know, hold on to that? Once you find out, once you feel, you know, how are you going to respond, how are you going to react? You know, you said it, that you're different, a little bit different now. It opened up possibilities in exploring your genealogy, you know. Adriana, you were talking about that. And so you don't really know why that happens, but I personally believe everybody has the ability to do it. I just need somebody to help them coach them through it, you know, to get over their ego parts. The ego parts are probably the biggest thing that gets in our way. The ego parts are the things that protect us, the things that say, no, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. And that's the things that causes the amnesia. that's the thing that protects us, make sure that we get across the street without getting hit by a car. You know, those are the type, that's, the ego's there to do its part. Because when we start...
Well, fear is another thing that'll stop someone from...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, they'll be curious, but fear will stop them because the first question they're going to ask is, do I trust this person? You know, what if they put me under and, you know, do something else? Or, mm-hmm. I mean, there is a fear there. Because I definitely had, you know, I wouldn't have let anyone else coach me through going back, I don't think, except you. And that's mm-hmm. because you and I actually have a trust between mm-hmm. us. I didn't trust you, but I really had to trust you, and I've known you for how long before I even, you know, tried that. I mean, I had to know you for a long time personally, right? Because, and that's just me. That's the way I am. I'm very guarded. I'm very protective of myself and who or what I would allow in or around me. Mm-hmm. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm very guarded that way. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that are curious and they're interested, and they really, a lot of them have modern, it's their problems now that they want to, they are trying to work through their problems, and that's what they think might, where the answer might be, but they're still a little bit leery about doing it because of that fear. And, of course, fear, I think, stems from your ego. Your ego mm-hmm. is your protector, you know. So you're dealing with, you know, not only your emotions on this level, but you're also kind of going into the unknown on a whole other level or two.
Sure.
And, you know, for some people that's really scary. I would never go to a hypnotist. A lot of people said, oh, I went to this hypnotist, you know, to be put under. And I was always very leery. I would not be able just to go into an office and shut a door with a stranger and have them hypnotize me. That would not be anything, a possibility with me. So, not willingly, anyway. So,
I found that 90% of the people know exactly what's wrong with them. Okay.
They have a feeling or an inkling.
Well,
the
majority of people that I've been in my work know what's wrong, but they're not willing to face it or accept it, or that's so blocked off, and they've stuffed it in certain parts of their emotion, their psyche, and then they stuffed it into an age where that trauma actually occurred. So you're talking mm-hmm. about something happened to you at 15, and you know what happened, but you can't remember, but you can remember everything that happened. You know, it's funny when you ask people questions and how you coach them through it, you know, how they can recall things that happened to them when they were, let's say, 16, but yet they can't recall anything that happened last week. You know, so it's really how the imprint is placed upon your mind and how it's put there and then how it consumes you and owns you. The thing is, what people don't realize, that these are memories. These are super imprinted memories in your subconscious and in your conscious mind that plays out over and over. So it becomes very traumatic and becomes very real, but it's not real anymore. It's done. It's over. But you can't tell somebody who's had trauma, someone who's a victim, somebody who's been victimized, because for them, they have to own that story, because if they own the story, then they feel powerless. And when you feel powerless, then you feel like you're giving yourself away. And that's what happens. The thing is to help people empower themselves through themselves, with mm-hmm. themselves, and saying, hey, you know what, 16-year-old person, I know that you've had trauma and I know that something's happened to you, but here's 30-year-old version of me, and they're willing to step up to the plate and work with you and protect you and hold you in regard and hold you and make sure that you're going to be okay. The thing is to teach people how to self-heal. The problem is we try to fix people. We can't fix nobody. Nobody can fix anybody except through divine intervention is from God. And the way God works is giving people their special gifts that they have through channeling, through psychic, through medium work, through all these different things, through drumming. That's how God works. That's how great spirit works. And so you connect with the people who you're able to connect with. You and I connect to people that we can physically, emotionally help them through. And then there's other people that we can't even break the barriers. But that's normal because there's enough of us out there in the holistic metaphysical world who can and will. And the ones who don't just understand that their journeying with all these different people that they work with, oh, this guy didn't help me, he couldn't help me, or this guy didn't help me, or I couldn't get any help. The thing is, if they're only there to guide you and to help you see things, and everybody who's ever had contact in, even in the slightest significant way that you think that they didn't help you, they did. Their purpose was for you to move on to the next person. If you would have tried there and stayed there, been a creature of habit and tried to bust through it with that person, you couldn't do it. There's a time where you have to say, hey, this isn't going to work, and you move on. But everybody, metaphysically, spiritual, everybody who you've ever had contact with in this world, in this plane, in this universe, there's a divine reason for them to be in there, even if it's for 1 second. We have to see it that way. The problem is we see everything is we want instant gratification and we want to fix everything. Sometimes it's the process of being involved and moving through it and dredging through that stuff and feeling the love and feeling the pain and feeling all this stuff. That's the magic. But we're not taught to see it that way. We're taught to see it in a much different way. You know, something happens to us. We first thing we do is we look at all the negative sides, aspects of it. Most people don't realize that there's also a positive aspect to it as well. But it takes time to grow and see that.
Yeah.
Very true. Yep, very true.
At least that's what I just channeled through. So.
Well, that was awesome.
Sounds good to me. That's right. That's right. So we take a little break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and continue and keep sharing our thoughts. We are listening to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia. I'm joined by David Two Crows and Adriana Aritz. These are my friends, and we share our stories and our feelings and emotions, and we shall return.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Munchkin City.
That's kind of us sometimes. You know, we're silly. We don't mind looking ridiculous sometimes. That's also part of our healing, even of ourselves. You know, is to not put up a front or, you know, think that we're better than everybody else. You know, we like to make people laugh, and we like to share that aspect of ourselves, and I have no problem with being ridiculous sometimes, because to me human life is kind of an opportunity to be ridiculous, you know, and to joke around and to have fun and to point a finger at ourselves and laugh once in a while, because we can oftentimes take ourselves way too seriously, and that's really just, you know, not what we're here for. We're here to love and connect with one another and to share this common experience that we're in. You know, this could be a very difficult time for some people to move through life as human beings. And when they can relax and feel like, you know, it's no big deal, that, you know, that they feel weird because there's other people who are weirdos too. And it's not a bad thing. You know, it's,
It's kind of our gift.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Most impressive.
I think of that time when we were under the falls, you know, just with our shirts off and just having fun, and it was just, you know, that looks ridiculous to some people. Yeah.
I can't believe you told people that, David.
I think your face is disturbing.
I was taking photographs.
Yeah. I don't remember anything, but there are photographs out there.
Oh, goodness.
There are pictures.
No, we've been. Yeah, sure. We've been Hayokas. That's right. We got pictures out there. We can't run for political office.
Oh, we can run.
Darn.
Donald Trump changed that.
Right.
I guess that's true.
Could you imagine what he would say? Is that you with a guy with a shirt underneath the falls? Yeah, so what? You never been under a falls with like another naked man?
You don't know what you're missing, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Really? Go away, Jeb. Go away, Jeb.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. We shouldn't even get started on that because that's a whole can of worms there.
We don't have to.
That's right. It's not important.
You have choice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
But I will say something. You know, Cam did an interview for after the Super Bowl. And, you know, he got tired of everybody asking the same question. Oh, why'd you guys lose? Because they play better than us. And someone's like, oh, why did you guys... Didn't it because they outplayed us, you know. So there wasn't a whole lot you could say after that kind of performance. So I don't blame him, you know. We didn't show up to play, so he got up and just left because he just had it, you know. I mean, I know he's 26 years old, he's young, and I get that. And I thought it was funny, and I saw all these haters on there going hating on him. Oh, I can't believe he quit about it. I said, yeah, he just took a cue from Donald Trump. I'm not going to go to the debate because some lady said I shouldn't, you know. And you know what? He didn't go to the debate. He lost Iowa. You know, I threw it all in their face, and it was just funny. And they didn't say anything to me. So we went there, so we don't have to be there now.
Okay, good. No, that's true. That's true. So, and we'll leave that up to Mark, because Mark's got many theories about what's going to happen politically here. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a...
He's scruffy looking.
Mark has a class coming up. Let's see, a couple of weeks, I believe. Maybe 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes, was it February 28th? One of the last days of February there, probably whatever, it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
They're going to have that. So it's... It was always a great time. I mean, my first time going was last time, but I know he's been doing this for a while, and just he's got a unique take on astrology, and often will go at places that many astrologers won't. So it's always a fun time, and you get some inside information on some things too. So shout out to our friend Mark there. If you're in the Columbus area, look him up on Two Fishes Astrology. Mm-hmm. .com. I think he's got his own website there.
His class will be at Mystic Nirvana in Westerville there on State Street. I think it starts usually at 7.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It's a good
class. Nearly standing room only last time, too. We had lots of folks show up.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Very good.
You were saying something about how we're in an age now or a time now when the people who were born, say, between 1965 and 1968 specifically, but in general the children of the 60s are coming into their own power. And they're going to have a unique opportunity. There's going to be a planetary alignment that is a once in a lifetime alignment for them now, and they're going to have a chance to really step into their power. And some people will be able to handle it, and some won't. But you said that's why you see some of these older folks passing away now. Some of the old guard is leaving this 3D world, and the new age of their, you know, the people coming along is going to take over. So it's an opportunity. That's one of the things you can learn when you go to Mark's class, is things like that.
Nice.
The new old folks.
The what?
It will be the new old folks.
The new old folks, yeah. Yep. Well, that's right. And then he said that it's going to go, since the planetary transition happens backwards, he said then it will be the time for the people born in the late 50s, which is now you're getting into my age, because that's when I came into this world, was back then. So, you know, it's I guess we're all going to get our turn to step up to the plate and have our 15 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. You know, you kind of know when you know, when you felt like you've lived your life to some extent. Sometimes I feel like that. Like, you know, I'm okay with that. If God says, hey, today is the day, I think I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel comfortable enough to say that. And I've done a lot of stuff in my short incarnation of 49 years, but I know there's more to do.
Yeah.
But I think knowing that you've done stuff, and that you know, there might be things that you didn't accomplish, or maybe you're still working on them, but, you know, I can still feel that way. I feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you. You know, when I look back on my life, you know, I've done things that some people never could do, just because they limit themselves, or they don't think like that, or they don't take advantage of an opportunity. You know, I've missed opportunities too, and I've got, you know, regrets, of course, just like anybody else. But, you know, I can list off a few things that I've accomplished in my life, you know, and that means a lot to me, because a lot in my life, I felt like, you know, I was always the underachiever, you know, always the guy who got the easy ride, you know, or it wasn't much expected of me. Or I guess you feel that way when you're the baby of the family, so to speak, and you don't get a lot of responsibility put on you. Or by the time you come along, the expectations have been kind of broadened to where, you know, just don't go to jail, David, and you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I think I've accomplished a lot. And, you know, it feels good when I hear my dad and my mom say that they're proud of me. Because, you know, I don't take that lightly. You know, that's not something that they give easily. So for them to say that about me, who felt like kind of the black sheep and the troublemaker in the family, you know, I feel like I've kind of proved myself in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that means, well, you know, we all have parental issues, but, you know, I think that means a lot to me, because I put them through some stuff, you know, in my teenage years. I was a little bit of a rebel. I was, you know, I ran away a couple of times, you know, and I know now what a heartache that is, especially for my mom, you know, but for a parent to not know where their child is, you know, wow. I do anything in my life not to put them through that again, or to make up for that, you know, and even though I know they say it's okay, I'll always carry that as a kind of a guilt, or a little bit of a touchstone, you know, about what I don't want to do, you know, or how I behaved in the past, and don't want to ever, you know, bring that back.
Yeah.
That's why you're always the pain of your mother and father.
Yeah, that's
pain
true.
We're supposed to pain our parents. My kids are supposed to pain me. It's what you do with that pain, is that, you know.
If you learn from it and know that you don't want to ever do it again. I'm with you, David. I was quite rebellious, according to my mother. Imagine that. She always said I was the rebellious one. She's like, no matter what anyone told you, especially if they told you couldn't do it, you broke your neck to do it.
Right.
You're the rebellious one.
Yeah. I ran away, and I'll never forget the look on my mother's face when I came back. And if I take that back, man, because I think that's the worst I had ever seen her. Or, I mean, really, the look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told her repeatedly in my adult years how sorry I was that I ever did that. And I was 15, you know, at the time. But, mm-hmm. you know, I learned from it. I knew it hurt me, too, you know, just to know that I caused her that pain. That really hurt me. And I've carried it. I've apologized and done what I could to make up for it, and she's forgiven me. So I'm very blessed I had a parent that forgives me, too. So,
right.
But,
we all have something
in common.
We all ran away.
Yeah. Well, see there? We all had that spontaneous trip there going on.
Yeah, that's true. You know, mine.
I ran away and hid in my neighbor's house in the basement. That's how I ran away. No one knew where I was
for
at.
For how long? How long were
like
you gone?
Like, for me, it felt like a day. I was probably gone 10 hours. But that's almost a day, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it was 10.
Huh. Wow.
I was gone a day and a half when I left. Left on foot with my friend, and then we did that thing you never were supposed to do, which was somebody pulled over and offered us a ride, and we got in the car. But we had it, yeah, we had it planned, you know. I was pretty mean. I was pretty mean, so I was in the back seat in case you tried anything.
That's right. That protective lion was back there. Rawr.
Yeah. But, yeah, it ended up, it all worked out. We went to my friend's grandparents' house, who had a farm way out past Circleville. And that's where we ended up. But for the first 6 hours, we were on foot walking on 23 South.
Wow.
Yeah, left school downtown and headed south. Even then, I was wanting to go south.
I don't even know why I ran away. I just did. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy,
well,
I remember why. I was in high school, and we had been bused down there to Central High School. And we cut first period, and we were down under the bridge by the water. And here comes the truancy officer of the school.
Oh.
And four people went with him, and two people ran. I was like, nope, my mom will kill me. And off we went, buddy. Oh, anyway.
Oh, boy. I remember those days. But I think I've got you both beat, because I ran away when I was like, probably 13 or 14, and first of all, I rode my bike to the airport to buy the ticket. And to do that, I probably rode about 10 miles, okay, because we lived on Badger Road, which was outside of town, and I had to cut across through some country. This is Alaska. I had to cut across through the backwoods, you know, and I sold my comic book collection to buy this ticket to go down to Washington State. So, and then I bought the ticket, and this is back before any of the airline rules were a lot looser back then. So then I rode my bike back to the house and went to bed early and put that little, you know, how you make a pillow person underneath the covers and you cover it up, you know, and snuck out of the house and rode my bike back to the airport at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, you know, and got on my plane and was flying down there to Washington State and got off and got right on the highway and was hitchhiking, you know. Here's this young boy hitchhiking on the road, you know, and the first person to stop was a cop.
Wow.
So they promptly took me to the police station and called my parents, and my parents were like, they're like, well, your son is here, and they're like, no, he's not, he's in bed, you know. So my mom went and checked, and sure enough, she found the little pillow person that I made. And yeah, I was too smart for my own good there. But so I was on a plane back that night, and they kept an eye on me for a while after that.
Yeah, I would say so.
Oh, I was grounded for the rest of my high school years after that. I was grounded all through high school. I kid you not.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I got grounded once because my parents, my dad had bought me this car. Of course, it wasn't a great thing. It was like a Gremlin. You know, remember the Gremlin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, and I took it out. You know, I had some friends. We took it out. You know, we went to a gravel pit party. You know, that's what you did up there. And this girl was like me, you know, so she was talking to me and stuff. And her boyfriend got all jealous, and he got a couple other friends, and they were like, giving me a really hard time. Oh, let's just go get the gun out of my car, you know. So I'm like, shit, guys, we got to get out of here, okay? This is going down way too bad. So jumped in the car. Okay, he like, so I remember now he hit me and he knocked my glasses off, you know. And so I'm like, okay, I can't even find my glasses, but we got to get out of here, you know. So we jump in the car and these guys are chasing us and put a couple dents in the car with their fists and stuff, you know, because it's just cheap metal. It was a Gremlin, right? So I go home and I'm like, you know, I tell my dad this story. Like, man, I got beat up and these guys were chasing us and going to shoot us. And he's always like, but the car, look at the car. So it's like, okay, I'm grounded. Love got me in trouble. You see, that's the problem. Oh, well, just one of my many adventures, I guess.
Yeah.
We started our adventures young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all we can say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I can't really blame. I know where it came from because all my life, you know, growing up, I've heard these folk music records and all these other things about, you know, I'm a gypsy, I'm a Rolling Stone, I was born under a wandering star, you know, and I've got.
Yeah.
I kind of got that idea in my head, you know, that's a kind of a cool life to live, you know. You just roam from town to town and around where the wind blows you, and it's a cool thing, you know. Watching Kung Fu on TV, you know. There's this holy guy from China. He's wandering around through the desert, and, you know, he stops and dispenses a little wisdom and a little love and a little, you know, moves on to the next place, you know. But in reality, you know, it's kind of nice to have a home, I guess.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't appreciate that until we lose it, or we, you know, we separate ourselves from it, and we can look back and go, yeah, you know, that was pretty nice, you know, having three square meals and somebody to love you and tuck you in at night, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like when you're a kid, you want to grow up so fast and go see the world, and then when you do grow up and the world hits you in your face. You're like, I want to go home, but you can't.
That's right. Boy, I want to go back to school when all I had to do was, you know, go to school and do a little homework, and I had it made, you know.
Right.
Well, we're getting down to that magical time, guys. So wanted to see where you guys are at, what you want to leave with our listeners, and any final thoughts?
Okay, well,
you've been on Facebook for a while. Now you're back on. I didn't know you were back on yet. So,
yeah, I just jumped on yesterday, and so that's okay. You know, I mean, I learned that I can control my time with it. You know, if I want to sit down for 15, 20 minutes and go through it, and I can put it away. I don't have to sit there and just kind of watch and wait and everything. It's controllable. So that's a good thing I learned, but. You know, no, it's I hope that what our listeners are hearing here as we tell our personal stories and, you know, I kind of just shoot the breeze here is that we're not any different from you. We've gone through things. We've had our regrets and we've had our adventures and we've, you know, we take life by the moment as it comes, you know, and things can blindside us. Sometimes we don't plan for them or, you know, we make a mistake or take a wrong turn or whatever. But those wrong mistakes and wrong turns are always experiences and lessons in themselves, you know. And I wouldn't really have it any other way, you know. People
Absolutely.
Say, well, if I could go back in time, I'd change this or I'd, you know. I think if I changed anything about my past, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And I like the person I am today. So anyone out there listening to that thinking that you've made some terrible mistake or some irreparable harm has been done, you know, either to yourself or to someone else, life always offers you another do-over, you know. Every day is a do-over, and you can always start again. It's New Year's Day every day. So
I like that.
yeah, don't be afraid to change. You know, change the things about yourself that you would like to change, and don't change the things about yourself that that work. And just go through life and make those beautiful mistakes, because if you don't, then you're not really alive, and you'll miss out on a lot. So take it from an expert mistake maker. It's an idea.
All right. Well, I agree wholeheartedly there, David.
All right.
Every day is a gift, and live every day for that day, and count your blessings. Be grateful for what you have and who you have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, you know, people that love you, love them back.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I just have to echo back what you guys said. You know, everybody's a gift in disguise. You know, everybody, the present is a magical moment to share with the people that are around you, and how you share that is super important. Are you going to waste it being angry and mad, or are you going to look at it as something that, you know, you can learn from it and embrace and love it? You know, sometimes we have to make some difficult decisions, but in the end, it moves us forward to where we need to be as humans, as people on this planet, to experience it. Our time here is very, very, very short in the scheme of all things. And, you know, we're not guaranteed our next breath. And so with that, that makes very important for me personally to, you know, value the things that are around me. And if I don't value them, then it's time for me to separate from them and move into other, you know, spaces of value. And I think sometimes as humans we don't do that. But, yeah, but having you all in my life is important, and wouldn't have any other way. And I know we have great adventures to come before us. And I'm just happy you guys are all around.
Well, we love you.
Love you, too.
Yeah.
And with that, I would say it's probably call that a wrap for today. And, you know, and I think these wise words.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
Right.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And you'll be all back, guys, in town by the time we have the next show, right?
Yes. Yes. I shall be back. I shall return.
Awesome.
I shall return.
Peace and love.
Yes, absolutely.
Much love.
Take care, guys. Have a nice
week.
Like
the Wookiee said, yep, you got it. You too.
Awesome.
You too.
Be well, my friends.
Love you guys.
Love.